2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
PGA DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com. And what an awesome time it is to be an Army member. We had yet another great Masters weekend, including a humongous cash. Big shout out to Splash for winning the $100,000 prize for the $9 FanDuel Golden Eagle. Huge shout out to Splash. We had a few other really big winners at the Masters. It was an awesome week. You really need to come check out DFSArmy.com. We are killing it. Once again, everybody won all the contests in the Xfinity race. We're one of the only sites in the entire industry with an optimizer for that going. It's been great over there in the NASCAR scene. MLB starting, and our MLB content is just wonderful. And our NBA content's always there. We've been winning like crazy over the last few months. That makes 15 wins of over $50,000 or more in the last several months. That is just a nutty number. You need to come over to DFSArmy.com and check our stuff out. We are killing it, and we want you to kill it with us too. DFSArmy.com. Use promo code TACO on sign up to support the pod. Done with the Masters now. It was an incredible Masters. Real star-studded event. I know that Phil and Tiger weren't there come Sunday, but it was still an excellent event. Reed made it close there in the end with Ricky, but ended up pulling it in. It gave us just enough of a show on Sunday. Well, he didn't want to run away with it. That would have made for bad ratings. So good on Reed for keeping it close. Really nice tournament from him. The dude putted like crazy. Ricky Fowler came back out of nowhere, pushed for that second place finish, and you had Rory and DJ, and even Casey came back and was looming a little bit. Spieth was there the entire time. Just an awesome tournament, awesome coverage this year. Really fun one to watch. But on to this week, we are headed to the RBC Heritage, which is a very interesting tournament, and that takes place in South Carolina, at Harbortown Golf Links. And this is certainly the opposite of last week. We are at a pure accuracy course. And this course has a lot of very unique identifiers when it comes to comparing this course to other courses. The fairways are extremely tight. Driving distance, on average, players drive the ball just barely over 260 yards on average. Was by far the lowest on tour, four yards lower than the Valspar Championship, which is another similar event to this one. But the driver is not going to help you very much. Hitting it 300 yards isn't going to give you any sort of advantage here. It's a Pete Dye course set up to challenge the players and really, you know, put a focus on ball striking and accuracy. Driving accuracy is so much more important here than distance. It's unreal. There are some other courses that are very similar to it. Very similar. Looking at the Valspar Championship we just had. Very, very similar course. Also a par 71. A little bit longer, but also another less than driver course. Main difference there being the green sizes here. You know, the Heritage has the smallest greens of any course. Very hard to hit. Green the regulation percentage. The only tournament that has a lower average green regulation percentage is next week's event, the Valero Texas Open. These greens are 3,700 yards in square footage, which are half the size of the giant ones we saw at the Valspar. But that's the main difference between those two there. And the Honda Classic also is another a really nice less than driver course, one that we're looking at. And then also the RSM Classic. I put a section in the cheat sheet that shows how players did at those three courses and who's done the best so far. Because all three of these courses have that in common, is that there's almost no advantage to really be had from taking the driver out. You're basically going to be using an iron or a three wood off of most of the tees, since distance really doesn't give you any sort of advantage. And here especially so, because the fairways get considerably tighter the farther you go down the fairway. 29 yards wide on average at 250 yards, 24 yards on average, 275 yards, and then at 300 yards, only 20 yards wide. That is extremely tight. And the rough is tree-lined. You're absolutely going to need to hit these fairways. Super important. We see a 66% driving accuracy on average because people are not going to be banging with the driver without fear of missing the fairway, because you have to hit the fairway here. You really do, or else you're going to be in some trouble. The tournament played a little bit easier last year. In 2016, it played 1.3 strokes over par, and last year it played 0.4 strokes under par. And that can kind of vary back and forth year to year, just depending on the weather. So far, things look all right, but we're not even close enough to be able to tell. Come Wednesday night, I'll let you guys know, as usual. But the main things that we're looking for in this course: driving accuracy, strokes gained, approach. And then this week in the cheat sheet, I've kind of separated the fantasy scoring stats. Instead of just having a fantasy scoring at par fours, kind of broken it down into short, medium, long par fours. The medium one's the one we're going to be looking at here. 7 out of the 18 holes here are in that medium range of about 400 to 450 yards in total. So guys who have very good numbers, specifically from that range, are going to be people we're looking at, especially this week. And just to look at those guys really quickly, this field is led by Zach Johnson, who averages exactly one fantasy point per hole on these par four, medium distance par fours, followed shortly by Brian Harman, Martin Laird, Andrew Landry, who's not available on FanDuel, and Ollie Schneider-Jans, who's going to be popular here after a third place finish last year in his debut, and then Dustin Johnson, who is only here for a sponsor. This is not the kind of course that Dustin Johnson would ever go to. In fact, he hasn't attended this event in over a decade, but now that he is sponsored by RBC, he has to attend, and that is why he is here. And he is by far the most expensive player in this field. The field looks crazy if you consider last week's pricing in, but the Masters obviously being a driver's course, this is certainly your accuracy course, so the Kuchers of the world are very, very expensive. And course history is also a thing here, just like the Masters. Lots of people with very good and very consistent course histories here. Some cases are pretty extreme. We'll get into them as we go along here. But yeah, up top, Dustin Johnson, 9-1 at $12,000. Now I'm not going to just hate on DJ here just for, you know, getting the driver out of his hand. He can absolutely perform well. He hasn't played any of these events because he usually skips these kinds of courses. But honestly, the par four, the medium range par four scoring, really just everything par four scoring, he destroys. And by far, he's by far the best of anyone in this field on short par fives. And there are two very short par fives that people have been making lots of their scoring on. I've got the one longer par five, but the two shorter ones are going to be pretty key for fantasy scoring this week. He's the only person in the field that averages over 3 fantasy points per hole on these short par fives. And he has always done that. He has historically just crushed par fives. Now, really the play to make with DJ here, you always assume he's going to be a good play. He was kind of quiet at the Masters, but still snuck a top 10 finish last week. It really comes down to, is the field going to be playing a ton of him just because he's by far the best golfer in this field? Or will people ignore him just based on him not having the proper course fit and not having any real course history to go off of. For me, it's about value. $12,800 on FanDuel. While you can pay for that, that's still a very hefty price. DraftKings $12,000 is extremely hefty. It's going to be hard for optimizers to really like him unless you can, you know, really punt down a ways. And you can absolutely punt a lot this week. There's some very good, solid plays down there. But is it really worth it to fit DJ in your lineup? In cash, obviously, no. You don't need to shake up your cash game roster like that for no real reason. Just jamming in DJ there, just because you've got, like, you know, everyone's probably going to play Matt Kuchar in cash at 10-8 just because of the ridiculous history there. But DJ and GPP seems like the way to go. I just don't know how lucrative of a play it really will be to just play a lot of Dustin Johnson, because he's still going to get, it's not like he's going to be sub 10% like at the Masters. That's just not going to happen. We're looking at the 20s for him, and you know, he could, I don't know if this is exactly the field I see him running away with and winning, but you know, even if you take away the driver, just take that out of his hand, it's not like he's dumb otherwise. You know, his green and regulation percentages, awesome. His par 4 scoring, pretty awesome. He's been scrambling pretty well, and I like strokes gained around the green this week. People are going to be missing the green a lot, and so we need to be scrambling well from around the green. It's more important than it is in usual weeks. Of course, approach is always important, but DJ's most impressive metric so far this season, as far as strokes gained goes, has been a strokes gained around the green. Been scrambling pretty well, and then just putting out an average level. I don't know if, you know, 9-1 odds, you know, I try to get, you know, I try to really pay 12,000 for a guy that's like 7-1, 8-1, but 9-1, you know, I'll have some in GPP, but he's not going to make the cash squad, obviously. Paul Casey, $11,300. Was looking like he was going to struggle at the Masters a bit, but you know, he tried as hard as he could to squeeze his fourth top 10 in a row there, but he had 7 birdies in a row. I don't know if they were in a row exactly, but I remember early on he was like 7 under. Come the final round of the Masters, he was just on a tear. Ended up with a 15th place finish. Just to keep that form going. His form goes way back, and it's so steady and consistent. He's one of the cash game plays that people consider for sure, because he's always chalky, always, in cash games. He just always is. I have a grave concern for him, though. Looking at these stats here, if you look at all the studs, really, you'd have to go down to Jim Furyk at $8,000 to find somebody who struggles more on these medium range par 4s. And that's the only part of his game that's really weak there, as far as I'm seeing. You know, he destroys par 3s. Oh, there's almost nobody. I'd say there's nobody better at par 3s than Paul Casey. That's just what he does. And on other types of par 4s, he does well. You know, he does pretty well on short par 4s. Not like as great as we'd like, but, you know, and then par 5s, he does pretty well for a player of his skill set. It's just specifically those medium length par 4s between 400 and 450 feet. Really struggles on those, 0.6 fantasy points per hole. And you compare that to guys like Harmon and DJ, who are getting 0.9, almost 1 fantasy point per hole on those tough par 4s. That's the area of concern I have for Casey here. And looking at his course history here, he hasn't played much either. Finished 18th in 2014, but since then he's only played in 2016. He missed the cut. So $11,300 is a lot for Casey. You know, Casey's a guy that I play all the time, and I think this is the week that I just don't play him. I'll play him a little bit, but I'm going to be severely underweight to the field on tournaments, and well, especially in cash, since I'm just not playing him in cash, but going to be underweight to the field with Casey. I'm going to make a move there, just kind of trusting the par 4 numbers here, just not thrilled about it. Then you've got Matt Kuchar, who's going to be very popular, always popular at this event. Had a terrible going last year, only finishing 11th. Ooh, so bad. But since winning here in 2014, his last win on tour, he hadn't really left the top 10 until that awful 11th place finish last year. But yeah, he's consistently finishing top 10 here. Doesn't miss the cut, like, ever. You know, super course horse. And it's the type of course where you'd think that, you know, Kuchar, or it makes a lot of sense for Kuchar to do well. Take the driver out of your hand. His, you know, his short length off the tee isn't going to hurt him at all. And he comes here every year, always does well. Just going to be a really awesome cash gameplay, as if he wasn't always a great cash gameplay. Just now, you know, $10,800, that seems like a crazy amount of money to pay for Kuchar, but given the field and the circumstance, it makes a lot of sense. It's a decent price. Mark Leishman, not really sure there, but looking good after last week. Round two, he really turned it on. Pushed for second place there. Ended up hanging on for a top 10. Didn't have the best of Sundays at all, but Leishman, fourth most expensive in this field. It makes sense. About where he needs to be here. Pretty alright course history. You know, just made the cut the last few years. Nothing big. Ninth place finish in 2013. A missed cut in 2014. Nothing really to write home about, but we've seen him finish top 10. Last two times he's teed it up. Well, I guess he teed it up at the match play event there as well, but he did pretty good for the group he was in. And even going back further, Leishman's had all sorts of top 10 finishes. Even a win in the fall. You know, a couple of top two finishes. You know, really high upside play. Now, Leishman, his numbers are awesome when it comes to anything par 4 scoring, but he seems to do exceedingly well on the super short par 4s, and we only have one of those this week, the drivable par 4s. I guess it's not really drivable, but it's under 400 yards. That's where he really shines, but his numbers across the board are just great. They're great all around, and I've said that about Leishman for a while. You know, I guess he used to be a really good, like, total driver, and his accuracy has kind of gotten a little bit away from him as he's become more of a power driver, but he never has a problem with clubbing it down or whatever, and he's just been so consistent over the last year or two on tour, really ever since he had the issue with his wife, since that's been sorted out. You know, he's been an awesome, steady, consistent golfer. A little pricey, over $10,000, and really not the best value for your odds compared to, like, you know, Kuchar, DJ, but, or especially the guys underneath him here, but, you know, reasonably priced for the field, and I don't think he's going to get that much ownership. Didn't have much ownership last week, so I don't really mind Leishman here. Brian Harman, $9,800, and $10,600 on FanDuel. It's a good price on FanDuel there. Top 10 here in this event last year. Made the cut at the Masters, but did nothing on the weekend. He looked pretty bad on the weekend, to be quite honest. And, you know, his form coming in, all those top 10s over the swing season and early on in this season, most recently at the WGC Mexico event. And, you know, Harman, just a guy liking GPP week to week. Good price on FanDuel. DraftKings price, I mean, he's a little expensive. Probably expensive enough to keep his ownership pretty low, especially with just a mild performance in at the Masters and then at the Arnold Palmer Invitational as well before that. But, you know, he's going to be on FanDuel probably be pretty popular, but on DraftKings he's just going to be like a contrarian stud, just kind of a shot to take in GPP. Play I like, and I'm sure play a lot of people will like here. Not on FanDuel at $11,500, but for $9,400 on DraftKings, you can get Webb Simpson. A pretty decent price for him here. He's one of the guys that sticks out when it comes to the less-than-driver courses. He's played all three of them this year. Withdrew at the RSM Classic, and it wasn't due to an injury. If I recall correctly, it was due to, like, a family emergency or something. I don't remember exactly what. I could look it up, but I don't care enough. I just do remember that it wasn't for anything injury-related. And it wasn't because he was doing poorly or whatever. But, yeah, at the Honda and at the Valspar, finished top 10 both of these events so far, which is an excellent sign. No one else has done that. A few guys have made the cut at both spots, but no one's finished top 10 in both of them. Webb Simpson certainly has. And that's always kind of been one of his fortes. He really has good course history at courses that you club down on. And it's not like he's even that bad with the driver usually. It's just keeping him accurate off of the tee leads to a lot of success, because the rest of his game has always pretty much been there. Sometimes his approach game gets away from him, but good at scrambling. And if he can putt somehow, he's got a lot better at putting this year for sure. But if he can put in some putts, then he's going to have another good performance here. And he has four top 15 finishes here at this event over the last decade, including last year he finished 11th, tied with Matt Kuchar there. So Webb Simpson, I know he's crazy on FanDuel. Don't play him on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, he makes for a pretty solid play. I don't know about cash, but I'm kind of thinking about it. I don't know. He did pretty darn well. I kept thinking, should I play Webb Simpson last week? And I didn't really pull the trigger much, but he did well. Top 20 at the Masters. I like Webb Simpson a lot this week in GPP, and you could even make the argument for cash, I guess, because there's not much else in this range here for cash. Ian Poulter, $9,300. 9.5 on FanDuel. That's an excellent price. He makes for one of the most obvious value plays of the week here, and that's really all the analysis you need. You want it. The Houston Open, made the cut at the Masters, but didn't do much with making the cut there. Good history at this event, 11th last year, 18th in 2015. But really the play is you just play him on FanDuel and don't play him on DraftKings, because he's a bad value on DraftKings and a good value on FanDuel. I hate when the salaries of the sites kind of take a lot of the fun and the analysis away from a guy, but yeah, just due to the pricing. When he's almost cheaper on FanDuel than DraftKings, you know something's off. Just in general, no one should ever be cheaper on FanDuel than DraftKings, and that's almost the case with Mr. Poulter here. Patrick Cantlay screwed everyone last week, missing the cut by a stroke at the Masters. I think it was two strokes, actually. Just one stroke. Just one stroke. Almost did it. It was his first missed cut ever. He missed a couple of cuts way back in like 2012, but since coming back, since reinventing his career, he had not missed a single cut. Now he has, by one stroke at the Masters. I think that's the most forgivable missed cut that you could possibly have, by one cut in a major. That's pretty decent. Now, of course, he didn't look great. You know, it's pretty hard to miss the cut at the Masters. It's the worst major to miss the cut at, let's be clear here. Maybe we'd prefer a missed cut at the U.S. Open, but at least it was by one stroke. Now, we'll keep everybody off of him, but remember, this is where Cantlay broke out last year with his third place finish, tied with Ollie. Both of them kind of had a breakout here last year. What does he do well? Forgot to mention this with Brian Harman as well. I'll talk about it with Harman here too, but that key range I talked about, medium par 4 scoring, 0.94 fantasy points per hole. Outside of Harman, who leads the field, or not leads the field, but second in the field behind Zach Johnson, those are 1, 2, 3 in the field right there. I guess forgot to count Mr. Landry from way down the scrubs, and Mr. Martin Laird, and then of course Snyder Jans, who I just mentioned. But yeah, Cantlay right there in the thick of things when it comes to best medium range par 4 fantasy scoring in this entire field. And I like Cantlay for that play, and just looking at where he's had some success at, you know, he hasn't really been playing these less than driver courses, but he had some success at the RSM Classic, and I think he also had success there the year before as well. But I'm not really worried about him here. $9,100, pretty fair price. Not too concerned about the miscut at the Masters. I think that's water under the bridge. It's a major, pretty easy to forgive yourself. Well, I guess probably a big deal for him personally missing the cut at the Masters, but you know, you can bargain with yourself pretty easily, because that's a very, very, very strong field, and he's done well at strong fields before, and he will again. I think he's going to win again this year. He's just such a good golfer, and this could be a good spot for him. Almost did it last year with his huge breakout performance, so look for another one from Cantlay here. Good value on DraftKings, $9,100. Then breakout guy from last week, the punt you wanted, Cameron Smith. Top five at the Masters out of freaking nowhere. Had an awesome weekend. And that was right after missing the cut at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. But he had shown signs at the match play that he's a real one. And, you know, outside of that missed cut at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, not many guys have had a better 2018 season than Mr. Cam Smith. He's finally getting some respect on DraftKings. Not as much on FanDuel. Good price on FanDuel, but $9,000 club for Cameron Smith. That's definitely the first time we've seen that. You know, his top five at the Masters, that along with his sixth place finish at the Genesis, those are his high upside finishes here, two out of the last five events. And you have to go back in the swing season. He had a couple of top tens as well. Won his native Australian PGA Masters. The guy's for real. He's really good. Just, you know, there's not really much in his game that sticks out. Historically, he's been a good putter, but he hasn't been a good putter this year. But just a good overall game and in pretty decent form. I just think he's going to be, you know, as far as the odds value right now, he kind of sticks out a little bit, so he'll be popular there. And he'll also be popular because so many people saw him last week at the Masters do well. For those reasons, I'm not going to play him as much in GPP, although I kind of want to, because I have been playing him a lot going through the season here. Luke List, $8,900, 9-9 on FanDuel, also very good price there on FanDuel. Really, the whole 9K range on FanDuel is just full of good value. Luke List is a guy who has seven top 26 finishes in a row. Had a couple of T26s in there to keep the stat from being too pretty, but it's still true. The guy's been a beast. Not at the match play, but other than the match play, the guy's been a monster in stroke events. Missed the cut here last year, and you know, his odds to pricing, at least on DraftKings, are the worst value of this range, honestly. So kind of curious to see how his ownership will shake out, because the game bloggers will pick him like in a heartbeat. They see all those top 20s, all those top 25 finishes, and yeah, they're just going to slam in the lineups. But people with spreadsheets, you know, people looking at the odds are not going to take a guy 40-1 when Cam Smith is 26-1 right next to him, you know, and everyone else 30-1. So I don't really know. Plus, he's like a pure bomber at an accuracy course. Granted, he almost won the Honda Classic, and at Valspar, he came 16th as well. Gotta see how he did. Yeah, he didn't play the RSM Classic, but still perfect so far in the less than driver courses. So don't let his 317 yard drive, driving distance, don't let that get you twisted here. He's in a good spot. I don't like his stats on the medium range par fours, but has been scrambling it amazingly. You're gonna need to do that this week. Not a very good putter, never really has been, but there's not a lot of green to work with here. They're very slow greens too, 11 on the stamp, a lot different than what we saw last year or last week at the Masters. So yeah, just going down the field a little bit here, Tyrrell Hatton. He's a guy that game loggers will not pick. People just don't like to play Hatton in general, but for odds value, him and Cam Smith are the guys that stick out here. He's way more expensive on FanDuel than DraftKings, so kind of a DraftKings only play here. And Hatton, you know, I still don't even know enough about him here. You know, he's such a different player here than he is overseas. And I like him for the top five upside he has, I really do. And he played decently here last year, but, you know, GPP only, and just taking shots. Not like a guy I'm going to take any considerable ownership on. Kevin Kisner, $8,700. I like this play a lot. Has had some good success here. Runner-up in 2015, 11th last year in that group, and he's had some struggles on tour. He really has. Three finishes of 100th or worse in four events there, going up to the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Very rough streak there, but made the cut at the Masters, finished top 30, and is one of the best in this entire field at this range in par 4 scoring, and that's always been his forte, is par 4 scoring. So on a par 71, especially par 70s, I like to target Kisner, and especially with how this course sets up, he's particularly good at the medium range par 4s. Bad at the longer par 4s, but really good at these medium range par 4s. That's his wheelhouse, so this is a course that's kind of set up for him. I like him a lot here. Then Emiliano Grillo, a guy that everybody likes, just a cut-making machine. makes cuts left and right, up and down. Third at the the Houston Open. Finished third there. I don't know how many cuts in a row this guy's made. It's in the teens. Might be approaching that 20 cuts in a row streak here. I'm going to have to check that out, but you know, that's what we're working with here. He's going to be a staple in cash games for sure. You kind of know that coming into any event. The dude's total driving is just nasty right now. Hitting it 297 off the tee with 68% driving accuracy. That is stud-like. 69% greens of regulation. The guy's a boss. He's just a boss, man. The approach game's not the greatest, really, but, you know, long-term made cut percentage of 87% out of 61 PGA Tour events. Just an awesome number. So safe in cash. Really, you start your cash lineups kind of there with Grillo. Especially on FanDuel at $9,600. It's a very, very attractive price. Moving along down the field here a little bit, you can use... Ryan Moore did pretty well at the Masters, and this is definitely his course setup. He's very short off the tee, very accurate overall. Kevin Na at $8,200. I love this play a lot. He's very good at this course. 3 top 10 finishes since 2011. Made the cut the last 2 years. Runner-up at the Genesis Open, and I know he hasn't been playing these less-than-driver events, but... that's usually where we want to play Kevin Na at, because he's very short off of the tee. Only hits it 283 off of the tee, and that causes problems for him. It really does, but take that away, and things look up for Na. They really do. I know he had the withdrawal concerns and all that, but he's made the cut his last 5 tournaments he's played. He's back in full health here. Wouldn't really worry about that there. He's a super value on FanDuel. He really is. He's under 9,000. 8-2 on DraftKings, 8-9 on FanDuel. Definitely someone I'm going to be playing a lot on both sites, to be honest. And then kind of skipped over Bryson DeChambeau here. It's like outside of Tiger, like the pre-Masters coverage was just all focused on Bryson. Just nonstop. And he was okay, you know, made the cut, didn't do anything with it, T38. He's okay for the value, I guess, but he's not super cheap anymore, and that's the only reason I ever really like to play DeChambeau there. That and his wheelhouse is par 5 scoring. It absolutely is, and there are only 3 par 5s on this event, or in this course, so just not a huge Bryson fan this week. He did finish 4th here in 2016, but missed the cut last year, you know. Granted, his form is a lot worse than it is right now, this time last year, but still, I don't know, I'm just going other places here. I like Na. And then right underneath Na, we've got probably the top value play on DraftKings this week here, for sure. It's Adam Hadwin, $8,100. He's kind of looking like List. His form is incredible. Hasn't missed the cut all season. Started off with a third place finish at the Career Builder Challenge. A couple of top 10s since then. 6th the Genesis Open, 9th in Mexico, and then had a less than driver course and at the Valspar Championship. Finished 12th. At the Masters, thought it might come to an end at the Masters, but he finished 24th. He did well. So had one at $8,100. Very good price. FanDuel has him priced way up there at 11,000, so I don't know what that's about, but on DraftKings he certainly makes for a good play. Then you got one of a few very interesting plays this week, and super interesting because I don't really know what to do with them. Jim Furyk is a boss at this event. In the last decade he has multiple wins, most recently in 2015. Lots of top 10 finishes at, well, the guy is a course horse. Now, his game's fallen off a cliff the dude's gotten old. Last year, his form was, I mean, he's been dealing with some injury and stuff for sure. Missed the cut here last year as a result of that. And we saw signs at the Valspar, which just so happens to be a lesson driver course. Finished 7th at the Valspar, 46th at the Honda Classic as well. He's going to be sneaky. If you go by odds value, you would never touch him in this range. But, I mean, Hadwin has half the odds of Furyk, and they're right next to each other in price. But on FanDuel, I could see playing a little Furyk, $9,100 there. And honestly, this is a place where people can kind of bust out a bad form and play well, because it's a very specific course setup. And you gotta love a course that bails out Furyk's 278-yard drive. Yeah, really short. But that's not going to be a big issue here at all, because the average driving distance of 265 yards. I don't think he's going to have to worry about it too much. Everyone's clubbing down. So like Furyk a lot here, but right underneath Furyk, Zach Johnson. I know he hasn't had the success here recently, but this is a course set up for him, you'd think. 2012 finished runner-up, and the leader in this entire field in medium par four scoring. That speaks volumes to me. He's just underpriced in general. 10-3 on FanDuel is a better price for him, but 7-9 on DraftKings in this field, that's disrespectful for Zach Johnson. Him and Kevin Chappell at $7,900 here, just excellent plays. Now, looking at Chappell real quick, I know that he missed the cut last week and screwed a lot of us, but it was on an epic tear, really. Before then, you know, all top 30 finishes in his first six events on the PGA Tour this season, looking good in every strokes gained category, which is something you don't see from people, driving it long and with accuracy for a long driver, great par four score. You know, Chappell, if it wasn't for last week's bad performance, Chappell would be like the play here. And most recently we saw him here in 2016, he finished 9th. So yeah, Chappell, Zach Johnson, this is where you start to hit value town here. The high 7, low $8,000 range, just full of super valuable guys. You got Russell Knox. In his 4 years of playing here, he's never finished outside the top 20. Real course horse there. I know he's had a lot of trouble on the PGA Tour over the last year after being so consistent for so long, and most recently missed the cut at the Houston Open. Missed the cut at the MDF'd at the Arnold Palmer. I'm not sure if he MDF'd or whatever, but he didn't finish T73. He didn't do anything on the weekend. That's what that says for sure. And the two less-than-driver courses we've seen in the regular season so far, did well at the Valspar T16, but missed the cut by multiple strokes at the Honda Classic. So, you know, Knox started off the season with four top 30 finishes in five events. It's pretty honorable. Since then, we've seen him stumble in three out of the last four events he's played, but that course history is disgustingly good for him, and his numbers on the medium par four is also very, very good. I'm going to have some Knox for sure, and definitely on FanDuel, where he's $9,000. Him and Na and Luke Donald, kind of 1-2-3 in that price range on FanDuel. It's just extreme value town, the $9,000 to $8,800 range on FanDuel just is. Another guy that's going to be kind of really under the radar this week is he's been playing poorly. It's Jason Duffner. He has never missed the cut here. He just never does. Finished 11th last year like a lot of guys. And, God, the last four events from him have been brutal. I think the last five no-cut events, he's finished, like, last. But the Valspar was his only missed cut in, like, the last, I think it was like the last like 20, 25 tournaments. The only miscut he had was at the Valspar. And that's something that, you know, I guess I can forgive him a little bit. Did well at the Honda Classic, but I had some concerns about Duffner going into the season just by how poorly he was doing at these no-cut events. And then just recently it's been bad finish, bad finish, bad finish. Usually Duffner I just play in cash and then don't really play in GPP. This week I don't even know about cash, so I guess take some shots in GPP, but I don't know, there are so many other guys in this range I like better, and Knox is the same price, and I would just much rather have Knox, like, a lot. Moving on, Xander Schauffele, or X as some call him. Never played this course before, and really fell apart in the at the Masters over the weekend, but, you know, I really like the medium par 4 scoring numbers here. That, of everything else in his game, that's what sticks out the most. So if that's as strong a skill set, this is going to be a really nice spot for him. And he posts top 20s and top 10s, a really good amount. In his short career, looks like Mr. Xander Schauffele finishes in the top 20 35% of the time. Some pretty good equity for Mr. Xander Schauffele. Then, for the same price, got a couple of clowns. We'll start off with Charlie Hoffman, the guy that got the ace last week, kind of screwed up some of the standings toward the end. Helped me a lot because I love Hoffman. I always have a lot of Hoffman. And finished 12th. He was the first round leader, like, pretty much every year at the Masters. Now this is a completely different ball game. He missed the cut here last year after a very similar performance at the Masters, but other than that, his course history here is pretty good. 14th in 2016, a couple of top 10 finishes a few years back, and he's been a cut machine, top 30 machine on tour outside of the Valspar, but that was the only less than driver course we've seen him play so far this year, so I'm kind of worried about Hoffman there. Just not going to be using as much Hoffman as he usually would. I know he sticks out pretty massively here as a value play, if you're just looking at odds, but there are guys in this range, especially a certain guy I'm about to talk about here, that just kind of take me away from using a ton of Hoffman. Hoffman, I'm going to use you next week, and I'm going to use you a lot next week, especially if DraftKings underprices you again. We'll see. He was 11,000 something last year at the Texas Open. We'll see how he is there next week, but it's time to talk about Luke Donald. Luke Donald is such a weird case here. Now, this stat's crazy. This is crazy. Luke Donald has, since 2009, Luke Donald has 7 top 3 finishes at this event. 7 top 3 finishes, and he's never won. He's never won it. He's finished second or third in 2009, 2010, 2011, 2013, 2014, 2016, and then, you know, we had this exact same discussion last year, because he was at least in, you know, somewhat decent form throughout there. I know at a certain point, a lot of guys who don't play, or a lot of guys who only play PGA for DraftKings would be, their jaws would hit the floor if I tell them this, and they don't already know this fact, but Luke Donald used to be the number one player in the world during the Tiger era. So, yeah, shocking, I know. Now, because if you just look at how he plays right now, he's horrible. Now, this started last year. Last year, he was just as horrible. Going into this event, he had missed all the cuts in the world. Is it starting to sound like a situation we've heard of before? Maybe a Mr. KJ Choi here. And if we go by the KJ Choi situation, very similar to this one. Last year, Choi had dropped off of the face of the earth, missed cut after cut after cut. He had 8 missed cuts going into the Genesis Open, where he had finished top 33 18 years in a row, right? And then he posts like a top 15. He goes ham out of nowhere. So it's like, hey, course history just doing its thing. Made the great case for course history. Now, of course, KJ Choi is looking slightly better, still bad. I think he had made like 3 out of 7 cuts or something going into the Genesis Open this year. But this year, he just ate shit. He got whomped. Missed the cut by multiple strokes. Like, his time came. Now, with Luke Donald, you could argue that, although I would personally argue for Zach Johnson's course history at the John Deere Classic as being the best, just because of the wins. Other than that, and maybe like Rory McIlroy's course history at some European Tour events, like, this is the best course history there is. Because even outside of those top 3 finishes, you know, for someone that hasn't won, this is the best course history there is. his T-37 in 2012 just looks horrifyingly awful, because it's really all just second or third place finishes outside of that 37th in 2012, and in 2015 he finished 15th, which is still pretty good. Now, his recent finishes have been just horrible, so bad. He made the cut just barely at the Valspar, and then at the Honda Classic, 120th, 115th at Arnold Palmer, 103rd Pebble Beach, 140th the Farmers. The only cut we've seen him make, besides the Valspar, where he made the cut but didn't do anything with it. The only decent, somewhat decent showing we've seen from him in this regular season so far was 37th at the Genesis Open. So his form's in the toilet, just straight in the toilet, but his course history is like perfect here. You know, I don't know, because last year, if this was last year, I'd be like, you know, hey, look at KJ Choi and parlay it onto here, and I did that last year, and he finished second, and it was great, I made all the money. Am I going to do the same thing here this year? Probably, because he's $7,700 on draft, or on FanDuel is $8,800, that's value. That's crazy value for someone with, you gotta admit, this is like some serious top three equity. Not saying that he's going to have another one. I mean, my official guess would be finishes like, I don't know, his range of outcomes truly are anywhere from last to second place. I don't know. Watch him just win after I say that. But his range of outcomes truly is like last place to like second place. So play him accordingly. Don't play him in cash. I know it looks very tempting to play him in cash. I wouldn't play him in cash. Play him in GPP. Now, moving along here, through the $7,000 range, just some key plays I want to point out. Love William McGirt this week, $7,600. Low-key great course history here. He started off not knowing how to play this course at all. Harbortown kicked his ass from 2011 to 2013, missing every single cut. Since then, three top 10 finishes, and then the one poor performance was a 31st in 2015, third last year. Now, he's missed the cut. Most recently, the Houston Open, missed it by two strokes, and didn't look good at the Genesis either. But when looking back through the less than driver courses that we've played so far, including the RSM Classic from the swing season, Mr. William McGirt finished 16th at Valspar, 33rd at the Honda Classic, and 8th at the RSM Classic. Really liking that. I think he's going to be, I don't know if he'll be sneaky, but I guarantee you he's higher owned in the high stakes contest. I guarantee you, because he's been low key pretty good. I know he missed the cut Honda. Before that, he had four really good made cuts out of the five events previous to that. Of course, sucked at the Genesis Open, but 26th at Pebble Beach, 33rd at Honda, 16th at Valspar, and 26th at the Arnold Palmer. And even going back a little further, his form not as good as it was last year or the year before. But he's just good at his types of courses, and this is one of his types of courses. And he has the best approach game, going by strokes gained so far this year, best approach game of anyone that I've talked about so far in this field, except for Ian Poulter. We'll say that. Ian Poulter has him by a little bit, but yeah, I don't like Ian Poulter that much, but still. Always going to be very helpful, have a good approach game. And that's something I always like about Mr. Willie McGirt here. Now, Matthew Fitzpatrick, same price, missed the cut here 2017 and 2016, but as a wee lad in 2014, did finish T23. He's been pretty miserable since coming overseas. He was on fire in Europe. Say it every time I bring up Fitzpatrick here, but hey, he did make the cut at the Masters. Didn't do much with it, but it's something. It's a starting point. Not really going to play him a lot. $7,500 is a very good range. Everyone in that range is looking really nice, honestly. Francisco Molinari might be one of the biggest value plays of the entire slate. Made the cut here the last 2 years, 22nd last year, and really solid on his form. Finished 20th at the Masters. Pretty low-key about that one, too. Kind of snuck in there. Problem with him, the real problem I have is that in his game, he's actually pretty good at scoring on par fives, and he's always great at par threes. He seems to struggle at medium and long par four scoring, and that has me a little bit worried here. and his playstyle's changed a lot. He used to be a pure accuracy guy. Remember, he would always lead the PGA Tour in driving accuracy, or at least be up there with the Furyks and the Stensons of the world, but not anymore. Now he hits it over 300. It's nice. And with the driving accuracy of over 60%, that's also nice. In the great approach game, it's all very nice. The only concern I have here is that par 4 scoring. It's not going to keep me off of him, because he's just well underpriced. 7.5 on DraftKings and 10,200 on FanDuel to show a little difference there. For once, FanDuel kind of being the voice of reason a little bit, but still, Molinari had just been awesome. James Hahn has made a million cuts in a row, because that's what he does. He either misses 10 cuts in a row or he makes 20 cuts in a row. And right now he's just on one of those make 20 cuts in a row kind of streaks. And that's what he's been doing. He has missed the cut here at this event multiple times in a row. And the odds books don't like him at all. They hate him, even though he seems like a very good value play to anyone game logging on DraftKings. Further investigation really just shows that he honestly has been solid. He's almost at like dead even on every strokes gain metric, so he's been playing average, but he's been playing consistent and steady, and he just hasn't been missing cuts, playing good on Thursdays and Fridays. Byung-Hung Ahn, same price. Much better odds value for him, and he's a guy that people just don't like to play a lot, but last year he was great all year long. This year he's only had the one missed cut at the Valspar, of course. Came fifth at the Honda Classic. So Ahn's definitely somebody I like a whole lot here, for sure. But GPP only, of course, with him. And then Brant Snedeker, 7,400, 10,700 on FanDuel. So you know how that works out, these crazy pricing discrepancies. Excuse me. But I know he's not the main play here at $7,400, but like seeing his name way down here is just crazy, because Snedeker is always, you know, a top like 20 golfer or whatever. It's weird to see him outside of the $8,000-$9,000 range, but this is the new normal for him, the $7,000 range. He's been bad most of the season. Last two cuts missed by multiple strokes with him. 11th here last year, missed the cut in 2016. Really up and down, shaky performances going back between being good and being bad. Won this event in 2011, but it was right after a missed cut in 2010. So Snedeker, who knows? Another one of those guys with a very wide range of outcomes, except for he could win the tournament. He could also finish dead last. The play that everybody's going to be making here at $7,400, kind of an egregious mispricing for the odds value. Ollie Snyderjans broke out here last year with a third place finish right alongside Cantlay, like I mentioned earlier. Really good in the swing season, and then had two missed cuts here in the regular season at the Farmers Insurance Open and the Genesis Open, but it's very important to note that those missed cuts were by one stroke, both of them. He's just been treading water, just making cuts and not doing much with them. Hasn't finished better than 41st since the Waste Management Phoenix Open way back in, I think that was early February, we finished third. Started the season off finishing 7th in the Sony Open, but like I said, his swing season was a lot better than he's been the last like month or two. But I kind of see why he did so well at this course last year, because looking at his numbers, and this is from every event he's ever played here, just because he's a newer golfer, but it seems like he gets the most, like the whole type that he is by far the best at is medium par 4 scoring. Very good at that, one of the best in the entire field. Like I had mentioned earlier, now his driving accuracy is atrocious, but perhaps taking the driver out of his hand will help him. He did make the cut at the Honda and the Valspar. Didn't do much on the weekend with those made cuts there, but still, at least he made the cut, so it's a good sign for him. Problem is, he's going to be very popular. Everyone's going to know he finished well here last year, and he's a guy that people like, so just know that going in. Honestly, you could almost talk me into a little bit of Siwoo Kim this week or Martin Keimer, but I like that Keimer made the cut at the Masters. I'm just still a little bit iffy with him. If it was regular Keimer, I'd be all over it, but I don't know. $7,300, got a lot of good plays from here. You've got Charles Howell III, one of the best really one of the best values on the play. The dude's been awesome. One missed cut at the Honda Classic, but other than that, it's been super solid. And just always is super solid. This isn't a course where he has the crazy good course history at like a lot of other courses, but has made the cut here the last 2 years. Then you've got Bud Cauley, ninth last year at this event. And that's the only time he had played since 2013 where he missed the cut as a younger guy, but has the exact same recent form as Charles Howell, the third, 18th at the 18th at the Houston Open, and 14th at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Now, he did miss the cut freaking horribly at the Valspar, and withdrew from the Honda Classic. And those two things kind of were, they seemed to work side by side there, but he's turned it around throughout the last two events. He makes for a really good value play, but I am kind of concerned about his horrible showing at the Valspar, but I know that was because of that wrist injury. You know, I think it was the Valspar where he had a really terrible course history anyway, but he is somebody that honestly, usually, he's better with the driver, but you know, that's really came back this season. He doesn't have the power like last season, only hitting at 292 right now. But, you know, maybe taking the driver out of his hands will change things around. I know it didn't work at the Valspar, but you've got to think he's past his wrist injury at this point. So, yeah, he's a player that's going to pop up a lot if you're running the Domination Station for sure, just because of that value. But be sure to set a maximum exposure on him, pretty conservative, like 15% or so. Just because there are still just the concerns from the poor showings at the Honda and Valspar. Granted, I know it's because of injury, just a small concern with him. Then you've got your Bo Hostler, really broke out on the scene, the Houston Open. We saw from our odds drift values, he had the most action put on him. His line moved the most of anyone in the entire event, finished second. Always important to track those numbers. Those guys almost always do well. The guys the Sharps are throwing money on, but you know, started off the season with his rookie season here, missing the cut at the Sony, that's fine. But four straight made cuts in a row, and those were the first 5 weeks of the season. He played the first six events of the season. The dude was trying to make some money. Had a couple of top 20 finishes in there, the Career Builder and the the Waste Management Program. Now, those courses aren't anything like this course, and the Honda, again, or not the Honda, keep seeing HO and thinking the Honda. No, it's the Houston Open. The Houston Open, again, not like this course at all. The Valspar, he missed the cut by a couple of strokes, and I think that's more of like what we're going to see with Bo Hostler. So count me out of some Bo this week. I don't really like him at this kind of course. Then you got Patton Kizzire. He won two seasons, or he won two events this season, including the season opener at the Sony. Since then, he's had a rough go at it. Missed three of his last four cuts. Didn't make it out of the group stage at the match play. But, you know, still has that winning upside. And he's made the cut here the last 2 years. 14th in 2016. And, you know, overall just good at hitting greens. I know that's not going to help you very much here with such tiny greens. But I think he's among one of the leaders in this field. Yeah, he's one of the top three guys in this field. Nope, he is number two in this field in greens regulation percentage, right behind a Michael Thompson. He's kind of a specialist player. So that's one thing I see going for him. I know he's had some pretty rough form, but he could definitely snap out of it in this kind of field. You know, his missed events are at some pretty strong fields. But, you know, again, they weren't very similar tournaments to this one outside of the event at the Honda Classic, so it's hard to really compare them too much. $7,300 range, I kind of always like Kevin Streelman, and he has some sneaky course history here. Hasn't missed the cut, third in 2013, 17th in 2012. I know it was a little while ago, but he only has the one missed cut at the Valspar, and other than that, it's been all made cuts for this guy. And all like top 40 finishes too. Well, top 45. doesn't finish worse than 45th ever, outside of that one time at the Valspar. Unfortunately, that was the one less than driver course that we've hit so far on the season. So, I like Streelman. I like him a lot on FanDuel. He's cheaper on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, there are just too many other plays in the range. You know, Hadley, if you believe Hadley's turned it around. No, you can't play Hadley. This is why you can't play Hadley. He's basically done really well at every tournament, except for, specifically, the two less-than-driver courses. Valspar and the Honda, where he finished 120th and 128th. Nope. So the numbers, too. The numbers just show from his fantasy scoring per hole. They're all great, except for his medium par 4 scoring. Like, God, this is the worst possible course to play Hadley. I don't do it. Just wait. Hope he misses the cut here, and then play him next week if he's decent at that course. That's definitely the move to make with him there. Sean O'Hare, kind of... No, I don't. I actually don't like Sean O'Hare. Forget I mentioned him. Austin Cook. I know he missed the cut last week, but he was a debutant at the Masters. Not the biggest deal for me. Well, 75th out of 83 players. But, you know, Cook's been great this season outside of that and outside of his, like, last place finish at the Pebble. I guess sometimes he just blows up, you know. But one of the value players you're going to be looking at here. Then Wesley Bryan. I know he's been really bad. Missed four cuts in a row. But he won this event last year, so maybe, you know, that might help him a little bit. But other than that, that's like, you know, other than that and this really being like the type of course where you could see Bryan doing so well because he only hits it 274 off the tee, you know, he's good at these types of courses and all, he really is. But you know, he gets all of his production from putting, and that's just not something I really like to attack a lot, you know. John Ha at $7,200. It's looking like a pretty decent play there. Just been in nice form, and I like him at these types of courses, even though he's missed the cut here the last two times. Nick Watney has just been super consistent, made every cut this year, made all seven of them. Hasn't played this event, like, ever, but still. Just a solid ball striker, and I think this is going to suit his game pretty well. And, rounding out the $7,000 tier here, we've got Brian Gay, who has the course record at this event, 2009, just smashed the field, went 20 under par, and then last year we saw signs of it, sixth place finish here at this event. So Brian Gay, very sneaky guy. I know he missed three cuts in a row, including missed cuts at the Honda and the Valspar, not a good sign, but, you know, top 10 at the Pebble Beach Waste Management earlier this season, and then last time we saw him at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, 22nd. It's just so weird because he's like really short off the tee, really accurate guy. You'd figure he'd do well at these accuracy courses, but so far he's sucked at the accuracy courses and been awesome at the bombers courses. It's been very weird, so I don't know with Gay. I'm a sprinkle him in there, but I don't know. Chris Kirk missed the cut at the Houston Open, and that was his first really poor showing of the season. Had a few missed cuts by like one stroke, but was really doing surprisingly well after his horrible season last year. He missed the cut here last year, and, you know, some 3 out of the 4 years prior to that, top 30 finishes, but I don't know if it's enough to make me really like Kirk a whole lot. Martin Laird at this price too, $7,100. Just like him a lot because he's second in this field in medium par 4 scoring, and that's, like, by far the best part of his game. That and his approach numbers also are just spectacular. Now, he missed the cut at the Valspar, I understand this, but 9th at the Genesis Open, 9th at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, and most recently, 26th at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Haven't seen him in about a month, and his course history here is very shaky, but I'm just liking the numbers I see in his approach and his medium par 4 scoring categories here. And then the $7,000 range, I don't really like anyone there, but I'm kind of looking at Rory Sabatini. He was kind of a course horse here, but missed his last two cuts. Was like a top 20 machine, but now he's been missing cuts at this event. But he's been sneaky all right this season. He has some missed cuts, but they're by one stroke. He has one single missed cut at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and that is it. 5th at the Valspar, 17th at the Honda Classic. He missed the cut at the RSM Classic, though, but still some good finishes for him at the most recent less than driver courses, so just looking at him there. And then you've also got Kelly Kraft, and he is the other guy besides McGirt to make all three cuts here. Kraft finished 31st at the Valspar, 8th at the Honda, and 22nd at the RSM Classic. And the weird thing about Kraft is that, like, other than those performances and the third place finish at the Corrales Putacanes Dominican Republican event there, other than that, he's finished, like, last in every event. Like, last at the Pebble Beach, Waste Management, Farmers Insurance Open. He's not long off the tee, and he's fairly accurate, but and god-awful in the approach game, which is weird because last year he was, like, one of the best in approach. I don't know with Kelly Kraft. I have no idea here, but for some reason, the dude just really excels at less-than-driver courses, and I'll take a touch of him here just because of that. And you've got Michael Thompson, who has sucked for a while. You would only ever play him on FanDuel because he'd be, like, dead minimum price and has some all right, like, stats, but he's kind of shown up top 25s his last two events, the Honda Classic and the Houston Open, and he's always been a crazy good putter, really good at hitting greens of regulation, number one this field, and his approach game also there. I mean, outside of these horrifyingly bad miscuts, which we haven't seen from him since the Farmers Insurance Open like 3 months ago, he hasn't played much, but you know, historically, Thompson always has been able to do well on these kinds of courses, but at this specific course, three straight missed cuts and just the 20th place finish in 2012, so I don't know. Just a flyer. That's pretty much where I'm at this field. I'm just going to talk about the few other, like, important guys here. Lucas Glover, $6,800, one of the most obvious value plays here. Missed the cut at the Valspar, or I think he actually made the cut at MDF'd at the Valspar, but 17th at the Honda Classic, and other than that, he's really been a made cut machine. Missed the cut by one stroke at the Genesis, but other than that, he's been good. Made the cut here at this event 3 years in a row, top 35 each time, and he's a guy that he used to just be really, really, really good tee to green, just couldn't putt at all, was the worst putter there is. Now he's just an average player across the board. Pretty decent at the par fouring range we like here. In this price range, just a really, really solid cut maker. 77% made cut percentage long term. It's really good for a $6,800 guy. He's just underpriced. And then Von Taylor, I like him for the course type. He hasn't played in like a month and a half, almost 2 months. Last saw him at the Honda Classic, but he's made four cuts in a row. I can't remember how he did at the match play, but he had like I think he had one or two like pretty decent upsets or something. I'll have to look into that, but yep. For $6,800, I don't mind Von Taylor, and then just a shot in the dark, Dominic Bozzelli. He's just like this Kelly Kraft guy, like just really, really bad at everything, but at these less than driver courses, for some reason he excels. But I wouldn't think too much into it, and then going much cheaper than that, it's not really that great. On FanDuel, though, I kind of want to point out the really, really, really cheap guys that are going to come up as some value, maybe, that you might have to consider just because of how wonky the pricing is. Like, 7-1, almost dead minimum price. Michael Kim makes for an okay value, I guess, but I wouldn't play him too much still because you're really dumpster diving here. Chang Soon Pan, my fellow countryman, fellow Taiwanese man, he made the cut here last year, but yeah, I don't know, he's been okay, but I just like him at the course type. That's why I like playing him. I like playing him at accuracy style courses, cause that matches his style. But really on FanDuel, you're gonna want to kind of make a mid range lineup this week. Honestly, I don't like punting too much. I know Wes Bryan's decently priced. Even Brian Gay, if you want to go there, or Streelman, but you really want to stay in the $9,000 range because there's no reason to pay up for Johnson. There really isn't. And then Casey, you know, don't need to pay 12 for Casey either. Maybe I'd play some Matt Kuchar, but really I'd try to just stick in the $9,000-$10,000 range and make a solid, like, balance lineup that way. That's where the value is on FanDuel. But, yep, that'll do it for me. Good luck this week at the RBC Heritage. It's a fun event. It's a good one to watch. Very different than the Masters. Completely different course, different challenge, and a different skill set comes through. And it's my skill set, but I grew up with unlimited access to a par 3 course. So let's just say my wedge game hot fire. Everything else, my driver, let's just leave it in the bag. I'm definitely a Wes Bryan minus the trick shot, so I can definitely appreciate a course like this. It's going to be a good one, so hope you guys win a lot of money. Hope we get another huge winner like last week. And remember, if you want to get in on these huge winnings, I'm telling you, just it's worth it for Xfinity alone. Xfinity NASCAR, we're like the only site with an optimizer for that, and I'm always on it. You get like an hour and a half or 2 hours between qualifying and lock, so it's kind of a crunch, but last week there was good overlay in every single event in the Xfinity series. Just a little heads up there, and if you want access to it, and for all of our sports, not just one sport, every single sport, your one-stop shop is the DFS Army. Check us out at dfsarmy.com. Use promo code TACO to support the pod, and I will see you guys next week. Peace out.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.